This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA. Come to you from the KOH studio, and guess what? It's Rodeo Saturday. As you're out there getting ready to get your Wranglers on, stay tuned for 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Again, Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA. Each and every Saturday from 10 to 11, we bring you 60 minutes of business acumen to sharpen the saw, as it were, Stephen Covey would say, help you understand all things business. Of course, if you've watched the news at all, which I don't, but I'm sure you do, you'll notice that right now the political spectrum is all things business. In fact, I have a lot of Trump things. I have a Trump shirt, although I guess I can't buy those at Macy's anymore. I have the Trump game. I have the Trump book. I've been following Trump well before he ever decided to get involved in running for president. Not to say necessarily a fan, he just does stuff well. So this is going to be fascinating. The whole different kind of rodeo. Speaking of rodeo, Randy O from the BBC. Randy, what's shaking?
Yeehaw!
Yippee-tie-yay.
That's my rodeo voice.
Seeing as how, Randy, I know you when you're an actor and producer in L.A. And, you know, you're really not about the Wranglers. You're more about the silk shirts and...
Well, we got to keep up the image. That's right, right. And the gold chains.
Do you own a cowboy shirt?
You know, I can't fib. I don't. Right. I don't. But I do have a cowboy hat.
Okay.
I bought it when I was playing golf one time. That's not really a cowboy hat. It's a golf hat shaped like a cowboy hat.
Of course. That's yeah. Don't wear that to the rodeo. Now, you might be shamed in that, submission.
Absolutely. And you know, my wife used to do rodeo stuff. She used to ride Gymkhana and had a horse growing up in Carson City.
Okay.
So when I say yeehaw, it comes from the heart.
It comes from the heart. Big shout out to Michelle. Who, you know, Michelle, one of the things I appreciate about your husband is you love him like a brother.
Oh my goodness, that was on the radio. Okay.
So one of the things we want to do when we're talking about all things business, we talk about the pillars of business. Everybody needs certain types of advisors around the table in studio. Rick Redding, Pinnacle Resource Management. We're going to talk about how to diversify your investments, get your money away from your business. Of course, also how to get it back into your business should you need it. So, Rick, welcome to Bosma on Business.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you.
Also, Rick's one of our newest advisors and a Christian brother. Rick and I have gone way back a number of years through Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. And now, Rick, you're still in that group?
I am.
Still in Alan's group?
I am. They haven't kicked me out yet. I'm feeling pretty privileged. So.
Right. Yeah, I used to go to that group weekly, and it's out right off Par Boulevard. And every time I was telling the office I was heading up to Par, they started to get a little shaky. So, I toggled to a different group. But you know, one of the things I found you need a village. It does take a village, and FCCI, great opportunity to have Christian brethren around you as business owners try and help riddle your business. So, Rick, we're going to talk about all things financial advisory, but let's learn first a little bit about your business. So, 3 minutes or less, give the elevator pitch.
Gotcha. What's elevator Pinnacle? Pitch. Well, Pinnacle Resource Management, we our tagline is to help you build wealth, preserve wealth, and create legacies. And we formed our company originally, I think, like a lot of folks in our industry, just trying to help people make the best decisions possible when choosing to invest and save for retirement. But over the years, we came to a crossroad. We really figured that most of the advice that we were being encouraged to give was based on really what you would consider, from a CPA standpoint, very old philosophy. And we came to a point where we realized that there was a disconnect between what average people were doing to build wealth, in particular business owners, and what the truly wealthy were doing with their money. They weren't doing stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. They were looking for alternatives, and they were looking for things that were tangible, hard assets. They were looking for things that cash flowed. They were looking to come to people like you and say, look, help me understand what's buried in the 73,000 pages or so we're told, that makes up the IRS code. What are things in there that I'm missing? And how do I make my money not just grow, but make it the most efficient possible, so someday when I have my exit, I can enjoy life and not just eke by.
Right. Okay. And how long have you been in business?
In business in total now, I'm in my 26th year.
Okay. 26 years. And how many folks do you have with you at Pinnacle Resource Management?
In our Reno office, we're a small group. We just have a handful of folks in our office, but we're affiliated nationally through our broker-dealer, Madison Avenue Securities. We're affiliated with a wonderful stable of CFPs, CFAs, tax attorneys, et cetera, all over the country that help in a team effort and try to help people build sustainable income models. It is all about the income. It's not about the size of your pile.
Indeed. Well, if the size of the pile depends, usually has a direct correlation to the size of the income, right?
It can, and it ultimately will. But we believe that at the end of the day, efficiency of your assets is so important.
So talk to me about that. You've said it a few times, Rick. So efficiency of assets, what does that mean?
Well, let me give you an example. Probably the most widely used tool today across America is the 401k, as an example. People will be encouraged at the employer level. I think many of the listeners have had money in those type of programs. That's a pre-tax plan. So you've got a defined contribution that's going to be going in, and it's tremendous for reducing current taxes. But we believe that if you look around and you see that we've got a federal deficit now, what are we at? Bumping up against $21
trillion. Yep.
No sign of any fiscal responsibility on the horizon in Washington, that they're going to need to recoup those dollars somewhere. So what people haven't asked themselves, and I imagine you get this, Mike, when people come in, if all they ask you today is, how do I reduce my taxes this year, that's not the accurate information you need. What they probably should be asking you is, how do I pay the least amount of taxes over my lifetime? And on those dollars. So reducing taxes today is important.
Okay, I agree. But now I know you're new to the business advisors. And,
sure.
I'm not sure if you've listened to the radio show in the past, but had you, you'd know that I have the zero tax guarantee.
Correct.
So basically we can guarantee that you will never pay tax in your lifetime. So it really kind of takes the whole tax off the table.
Exactly. And that's why they need to be in front of you.
So you realize how we do that, right? The strategy to get to zero tax?
No, do tell.
So basically, Randy, let's just say that this year you made $100,000.
All right.
And for that $100,000, you're going to have a $30,000 tax liability. I'll say, well, I'll tell you what, my zero tax guarantee, I'm going to charge you $100,000 in accounting fees. Now your income is zero. Now you don't have any tax.
That explains the invoice I just got from Shannon.
Right?
I'm going to write that down. Thank you.
So now, Rick, as a financial planner, sure, what's the fallacy in that logic?
You're giving away a dollar to save a penny. Sure.
Right. Yeah. You're giving away real dollars to try and save tax, right? So until the tax rate is more than 100%, which if Bernie was elected, it could happen. Until it's more than 100%, you're better off not spending the money.
Correct.
Right? So like a lot of times, a big fallacy in tax planning, get to the end of the year and people are like, well, should I buy a new truck?
There you go.
Let me buy the new vehicle. You'll write the whole thing out.
I've heard that time and time again.
So the error in the logic is, let's say you get a truck. Now, you do need to have a bed that's 6 foot or longer so you can write the whole thing off in year one. So most standard pickup truck beds are 5.5 feet. You only get $25,000 deduct year one. But if it's 6 foot or more, spend the extra $1,000 and get the whole $50,000 write-off. That's the game. The problem is, in year two, that $50,000 truck is worth $40,000. In year three, it's worth $30,000. So you're losing real dollars, and unless you're going to buy that vehicle anyway, and that's where a lot of times when we talk about, how do you grow wealth in life, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, to summarize his whole book, I'll save you 8 hours of reading, spend less than you make. That's just transformational. Spend less than you make. Do it over a long period of time. And that's the only way to grow wealth, because that gives you, if you consume, if you personally consume everything that you make in your business or in your W-2 job, then there's nothing to grow value. And that's, it's funny, as I've talked about the poverty experiment on this show often, you know, kind of ratchet down your lifestyle to $30,000 a year, regardless of what you make, and you can save a lot of money very quickly. Because, Randy, you can have a pretty good life on $30,000 a year.
You can, depending on, I mean, not in Arrow Creek, but depending on where you live.
Right. I mean, as the words of my eldest son, Brian Bosma, we'd be rich if we lived in a cardboard box.
Well, listen, we know that America has a spending problem. I mean, it is what it is. People want their stuff, and most people spend more than they make, which is why I just heard on the news the other day that credit card debt is back up again.
Right.
Consumer credit card debt is on the rise. When it was, you know, after 2008 and 2009, it had sort of taken care of itself.
It all got written off.
That's right.
So Rick, when you talk about diversification, what is that? What is that? I guess what does that mean?
Well, in our, I would say in our philosophy, diversification would mean looking for different asset classes versus many different colors of the same egg, so to speak. Most people have stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That's a very common thing. And those are all good things for the right person, the right situation. But we believe that the secret to building true sustainable wealth is to find asset classes that do not correlate the same way that the equity markets correlate, that they zig when they zag. They provide other attributes. There's three things that everybody secretly wishes when they go see a financial advisor they could accomplish.
Do tell.
It's pretty simple. One, they'd like their money to be 100% safe, 100% free from any kind of risk. They'd like there to be no fees. They'd also like there to be a very high rate of return. And I think secretively, they'd like to know that at any point they could cash out completely liquid. And if you want to put a cherry on the top of that sundae, they'd like it to be as tax efficient as possible. Probably like it to be deductible going in, tax-free as it grows, and tax-free coming out. Oh, and what the heck? Why not make it tax-free to their kids, right? So there's this secret wish list I think we all have. And here's the reality that I think very few people are ever told, is that you cannot get 100% of all those attributes in any one tool. Your goal ought to be to compare the tools you put your money into. How much of those attributes can you get per tool? And can you build a financial table with multiple legs? So as we like to say, when that unruly toddler comes and kicks one of the legs, the Thanksgiving dinner doesn't fall over on the floor. You've got many legs around the table to give you increased stability, because none of us really knows. You know, I can't tell you right now whether the market's going to go up, down, or sideways.
Well, the only thing that we do know is that it will.
Someday it will go up, someday it will go down.
And some days it will go sideways.
Correct.
So let's do this when we come back. We're talking about diversification of wealth, and we're going to find out kind of all of the things that your financial advisor isn't telling you on how they make money when we come back. It's Bosma on Business. You suck, 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. Now, during my day job, run a good-sized CPA firm. I have a great group of CPAs back at the office. Of course, they're not there today because it's not busy season. So one of the things that we work hard in busy season, and then we just work outside of busy season. One of the things that if you are out there and a business owner, think of it this way. I have a lot of people take me up on this offer, and that is, if you were diagnosed with a medical malady that's going to cost you, let's call it $30,000, and it only costs a couple hundred bucks to get a second opinion, most people would get a second opinion. So what we're doing, not even for a couple hundred bucks for free, is we're giving people second opinions on their tax returns. So they come in, say, hey, just take a look at them, get a business personal, and we'll take a look at them and kind of let you know if all that tax that you just paid on April 15th was the right way to do it. And I will tell you, just having been doing this for many, many years, is that most tax returns, I can't say most. I mean, 50% of the tax returns that I do this kind of free kick the tires on, second opinion, 50% of them are right based on the information that they were given. And the other 50% are just wrong. So you got to fix those. But of the 50% that are right based on the information that were given, 40% of that, so 40 points of the 50, if they had done something differently, you know, if they'd planned or structured better or differently, they would have gotten a much better result. So basically, we're running anywhere from 80 to 90% opportunity on the tax returns and that we're looking at. So if that is you and you're feeling the pain, you're wondering if, gosh, you know, I got this diagnosis, I owe all this tax, or actually, oftentimes, I'm not paying any tax and that scares me. Is that correct? We'll be able to kind of we've got really, you need a certain level of technical savvy, and that's the, I guess, the folks that I've got back at the office, each very deep in different areas. So nobody can know everything. That's just, the tax code is just too broad for that. So you just need a group of experts that understand all facets of the business. So in today's show, we're talking about the financial advisory part of the business. In studio, Rick Redding from Pinnacle Resource Management. Rick's a financial advisor, investment advisor. And Rick, one of the things we want to do is kind of understand how you guys get paid. In the realm of full disclosure, kind of my perspective of a lot of people in your trade, and that's why it's hard for people to get to let the financial advisor sit in the trusted advisor chair, because most or a goodly amount of financial advisors out there, their job is to get more clients so they have a bigger portfolio to manage so that they can golf 4 days a week instead of just three. So they're not really watching the markets. They're relationship people. They have their with these brokerage houses that tell them kind of, hey, based on this risk profile, this is what you should do.
Sure.
They put them all in their mutual funds. So everybody's getting paid every which way. And that's the big brokerage houses. And then you've got the independents out there that find that for some reason loaded mutual funds are the way to go, or loaded annuities are the way to go.
So, sure.
How do you guys get paid?
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. This year is a year of transition our industry. The Department of Labor has done something really interesting, and half of our industry is in panic mode, and half is clapping wildly. We would be in the enthusiastic side of that. Department of Labor, if you haven't read about that, it's been all over the news. They're now going to require fee disclosure for anybody that is a financial advisor, and anybody dealing with retirement accounts is now going to have to wear something called a fiduciary hat. Well, we've had to wear that because of our licensing for an awfully long time. And that means that ultimately, and your question is, how do we get paid? We're not unlike, I think, a lot of firms in the fact that we have financial tools. Some of those tools are going to charge a management fee. We're very upfront about that. You get to negotiate that fee. But we do things a little bit differently. We don't manage money in the equity markets personally. What we have elected to do, because we think it's infinitely safer for clients over time, is we've sought out what we call tactical adaptive money managers that are algorithmic based. They're instead of putting their money into promoting what I'd call the rock star money managers and parading them on MSNBC or any of the shows out there that would try to build trust in a person, we believe that rules work. We believe absolute rules work. And if you go back over the last many decades, there are anomalies in the market. And, you know, there's a time to be in. And as the famous financial advisor Kenny Rogers once said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Right.
So again, we'll have a fee-based portion of what we do. We have a three-tiered system, to make it real simple. Some of the tools we may recommend are what are called principal protected products. Now, those are products typically they're going to be backed by banks and or insurance companies. They're going to pay us some sort of a commission in today's world, some sort of a small commission just based on their funds from operations. We disclose that, pretty common knowledge. We're happy to sit down one-on-one and on every individual product show people exactly what they're willing to pay us. We also have the alternative investment categories. Those are going to be hard asset investments. Consumers today can pick and choose. They can put that into a managed agreement, pay a small annual management fee as part of a total plan, or they can allow that independent company to pay us some sort of compensation up front and not pay us anything as an ongoing fee. The consumer totally can drive that today. which makes a lot of sense. The real way we get paid ultimately, though, is that our model, we believe, is so effective and so unique that our phone rings off the hook literally every week. And we laugh. Our single best marketing is having a very tight relationship with our clients, and we get to be the topic of, we'll call it second beer barbecue talk. They tend to really appreciate what we do, and the phone rings. And so that's ultimately, there'll be some commissions, some fees, but the consumer ultimately in today's world can decide that.
Well, and I guess so that's the question. So like the... So annuities, right?
Sure.
So there's different types of fee structures in annuities. So what I want to be able to do is just make sure we kind of flesh out how financial advisors get paid. You know, so I remember I had a financial advisor, one of a handful of folks around town through the years, and I remember he put me into the Allianz fund.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay. So and he had his reasons for doing that.
Sure.
So like, okay, well, whatever. Fine. So. And I remember going to his office one time, and he was like the platinum Allianz fund dude, right? So I'm like, what does that mean? Like, you get put into these funds. I just feel like gosh, like he's kind of getting some back sweetheart deal from Allianz on
oh,
that.
Gotcha. You know, I'd have to say that today's world is quite different than it was 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, I've seen the evolution of the industry coming off a long way. Yeah, there were times in years past that companies would artificially incentivize people out there to
right.
suddenly think that, wow, I've known you 30 minutes. You came to my dinner seminar. I bought you a $100 steak. And miraculously enough, in our first conversation, I found the right tool for all of your money.
Right.
And so, yeah, that stuff used to go on. But fortunately, I think the consumer watchdog groups and a few right-thinking people in the industry realized that at the end of the day, it's not so much which tool. Most of the tools out there with the top companies are going to work well.
What you're saying is just be in the market.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that not the market per se, because what you're referring to is something that is technically not a security. I hate to get into product today, but what you're kind of alluding to probably is something called a equity indexed annuity, where it's really a savings vehicle where they can peg your possible returns to some of the uptrending of the market.
Okay, right. So let's do this. So like I said, I want to be able to kind of flesh this out, then also understand from a business advisor or business owner perspective how they could efficiently stash cash, still have it available when they need it. You heard it here and only here. It's Bosma on Business. Newstalk 780 KUH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma. In studio, Rick Redding from Pinnacle Resource Management and Randy O from the BBC. Randy, what's shaking at the BBC?
Hey, Mike, we are as always jumping over there. I want to give a shout out to Dale Carnegie that took advantage of our fantastic learning center and had an event this week, and it was jam packed. I'm sure people have seen those pictures up on Facebook. We were helping to promote that a little bit. So if you've got an event, we've got a 35 to 40 seat learning center that would be a perfect place for you to host it. And also want to remind everybody we've got a lunch and learn coming up with you and Katrina, our business advisor, talking about how to maximize the value of your business and minimize the tax and structuring your business for maximum profit when it's time to sell. So.
Yeah, and that's where having Katrina around the table and the business advisors has been a huge benefit to the businesses that do business with the Business Center. There's this free flow of information. Katrina sent me an email the other day saying, hey, somebody's wanting to sell their business, a brothel of all things, and but they're in a C corporation, so they're kind of getting back to the planning part of it. Not a great idea to have that operation because it has real estate with it in a C corp, but whatever that is. So it's very tax inefficient to sell the business. Going to feel like it's going to cost 50 cents on the dollar to get money out after the sale. And so we talked about doing a like-kind exchange for a gas station.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, this is how it works, basically, you can do like-kind exchange on tangible personal property, real property, not so much for goodwill. But the fascinating part of it, depending on how you allocate the purchase price, right, to the extent it's allocated to tangible personal property, that's going to carry over dollar for dollar. And so it's kind of like you know, you can make all that happen. Of course, you can't get the cash on the sale. You got to be able to put it into an escrow agent. So just the fun stuff I get to do every day. So like, hey, I got a problem. We're, you know, we're selling the business. It's, we're getting less than 50 cents on the dollar out to the owners. How can we make that tax efficient? And I said, well, if they're going to reinvest it in another business, we can make it almost 100%. So, you know, you double your money. Instead of having 50 cents on the dollar to reinvest, you got all of it. So, but that doesn't diversify, right? You either own one brothel or one gas station. All of your eggs are in one basket. It's not, you know, not even in a product class. You're just, you know, something happens to that one property. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is to diversify away from their business. Pull money away. It's like, people are like, well, I need it in the business. Like, well, I'll share this story with you. So, Rick, so years ago, I had a client. He owned, he was able to acquire a bank back in the S&L crisis back in the 80s. And he grew that. And then it got gobbled up by a big, big bank. And I remember having this discussion with him. You know, he's all of his income, pretty much, he retired. All of his income was dividend income from this one stock. And I just remember telling him, I was like, well, I'm not a certified financial planner, but I would really recommend you get a plan to diversify away from this one stock. He goes, Mike, this stock has gone up 25, the dividend on this stock has gone up 15 cents every quarter for the last 30 years. There's, you know, after tax, there's nothing I can do. You know, I'm not going to get that return anywhere. So I'm just going to really stay the course. And I was just like, okay, but I would really encourage you to talk to an expert about that, because it just, having all your eggs in that one basket that's publicly traded, you've got flexibility. So, lo and behold, 2008 happens, and I remember he comes to me and he's like, "Okay, I liquidated the portfolio." I'm like, "Oh, do tell." He goes, "Well, that bank that bought him was Countrywide."
Oh no.
So, now it's worth zero, right? And he got out at, you know, he lost half of his wealth before he was able to get that. Mm. And I would get out. And it was just, and so there are rules that just you got to play by. Now, what I've learned since then is he could have done a partnership, a couple different vehicles to be able to throw that stock in to diversify into other asset classes. And, you know, and the problem is, right, he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And like, I didn't have the answer. It's like, you got to talk to somebody who does. But Rick, as we were talking on the last segment, there's this dirty feeling when you're talking to a financial advisor that all they're trying to do is to get you to make them money. You know, there's just not a sense of trust.
Sure.
The rules with fiduciary, like the fiduciary duty that I have to a client, and now they're trying to marry that in the financial advisory world. Fiduciary duty I have to a client is that I have to tell them the best for them, regardless of if it makes or loses me money. I've got to, in my professional opinion, what is best for you? That's a fiduciary duty. It is a bright line test. Like there's a number of firms in town that got their fingers, CPA firms got their fingers caught in the cookie jar because they were out hucking investments for their clients.
That's right.
And they didn't exercise that fiduciary responsibility. And, you know, one of the big one was Kefauri and Armstrong. I mean, they got sanctioned by the state Nevada Accountancy Society saying, you know, what you did was not in the best interest of your clients. They got formally sanctioned. And then they end up basically winding up the firm and rolling it into Ide Bailey. But, you know, they lost sight of that fiduciary duty. So, you know, what is this new fiduciary duty? You know, what was it? What is it now for financial advisors?
Well, for financial advisors, previously, you really only had to worry about something called suitability. And that's kind of a squishy thing. You know, it's a bit gray. Suitability would mean, you know, for somebody in your age group with your risk tolerance, with your certain time horizon, et cetera, would a product like that possibly be good? It's kind of like going out to a restaurant and you just ask for I just like a suitable meal, Well, that just pretty much means
anything, right?
That's anything other than Chipotle, I guess.
So, you know, so that's where, like, well, so maybe an annuity fits into your world, but
sure.
But there's no, but at that juncture, it's just like, you know, as the advisor, you can say, well, if this fits this suitability criteria, now it's up to me to get paid as much as I can.
Because the most money possible.
It absolutely could. We hate to admit that in our business. That's the dirty little secret. But where I think it's such a positive today is that we have resources. I know our firm, we do not have the time on a daily basis to analyze every single tool personally. We have decided to take some of our resources and to go externally to independent organizations that have access to all tools. And the beautiful thing about computers, if you're filtering for the right answer, you can get definable differences. Don't get me wrong. Many people out there have got some wonderful product in their portfolios, no doubt. But it wasn't put there for maybe the reason that it should have been put there, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. So what we try to do is take a planning approach. Our typical client is going to sit with us 3, 4, 5 times as we build a plan. Now, we know ultimately we'd better be a good fit. Otherwise, we spend a lot of time, you know, figuratively kissing frogs, right? But if our goals are similar for them, if our planning approach is appropriate for mm-hmm. them, we're willing to take that time.
Okay, so which is awesome that you do that. You're investing in them. But so we have the suitability criteria
sure.
for fiduciary responsibility. What is it now?
Now it's this fiduciary standard, and there's going to be a couple of different, but without getting too long-winded today, and this is something we may want to talk about individually if they call into our office. Obviously, we'd be happy to do that. But now it's going to be ratcheted up where really it has to be in their best interest.
Right.
We have to be able to legitimately look at them and say, look, this is why this tool for this segment of your plan, that leg of your table, why we think of all options out there, we think this is the most appropriate, and we're willing to put our name behind that. And it's going to completely clean up the Carnival Barker aspect of the financial services industry.
Right. And that's, I guess, will remain to be seen who of financial advisors are, you know, how much of their own punch they've been drinking. Because a lot of times they're like, oh, no, this is the best for you. And I'll tell you, under the suitability fiduciary criteria, it was hard. It was hard as an individual to sue them and say, well, gosh, you know, especially when things change, right? When the economy
sure.
changed, and that's where you had all these loaded funds where, you know, their commission was paid up front. They couldn't get out of them for 5 years without a significant penalty. And they're just like, this is nuts. Things have changed. I did not know that this thing, you know, didn't have the liquidity preference, and kind of as the dust settled, they could have gotten into the same annuity or, you know, same type of guaranteed return, but not have the lockup. And the only reason they had the lockup was because the financial advisor got paid on the front end. And so it's just like, well, who were you looking out for? Was it you or me? So under this new criteria, so it sounds like that pricing model's got to go away, right?
Yeah, it's changing. And again, although we don't know the final end result, our expectation is that these products are going to be modified to be much more consumer friendly. Right.
And so now, is that new fiduciary standard, is that in place now, or is it coming in place?
No, it's going to be spring of next year.
Oh, okay.
It's fully implemented. They have to give the industry some time because, right. you know, it's going to change an awful lot of how people choose to participate in the industry. Anyone who's not fully licensed is going to have to make that decision.
Okay, but that's actually good intel, right? Spring of next year. So just buyer yeah. beware. Spring of next year, you still always have to understand the information that you're being provided and still vet it, but buyer beware until spring of next year, because basically game's still on. They can, you know, as long as it's generally suitable for you, they can huck whatever
sure.
and get paid. And I would imagine there's gonna be some people out there trying to get paid a lot because they're, you know, the holy grail of the big commission payouts is
squeezing under
sure.
the time horizon, right?
Right, that's it. So just buyer
well,
beware.
Well, listen, the buyer always has to beware. I did a little study with you know, there's a national radio host that we won't mention, Dave Ramsey. And he talks about...
I've heard of him.
He talks about mutual funds that have a certain return.
Right.
And you can throw a rock and find them, right? Well, I found out the company that he was recommending, and they happened to be coming to Reno. They have an office in Vegas.
Okay.
Did a little research, had a chit-chat with them, and it turns out that those returns that are being talked about are not always... exactly what they say they're going to be.
Right.
So, you know, if you don't do the research, if you don't pay attention...
You got to do the work, unfortunately, but which is, I'll tell you, a good reason why to bring in kind of your team of advisors as you're decisioning those things? Because a lot of times, you know, you as a business owner, you know, you've got one perspective, but you can't be fully informed on
right.
it. But that's where you, bring in other advisors, you know, the attorney, the accountant, and just like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking of doing. Does it make sense? So my how time flies. So guess what, Rick? When we come back, we get to hear your number one thing when selecting a financial advisor. How awesome is that?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, business owners, get your pen, get your paper. It's going to be Bosmon Business. We come back. News Talk 780 KUH. Welcome back to Bosmon Business. Make sure you go to our Facebook page. Like me. I like to be liked on Facebook. Like to be liked in life. Look up Mike Bosmon on Facebook. Of course, go to bosmabiz.guru. Check out our events tab, and you can sign up for Lunch and Learn coming up on June 30th. How to maximize your business value while minimizing your tax. In fact, what we call that maximizing after-tax cash flow from selling your business. That's kind of how that goes. Which I'll tell you the secret to that. I'll just give you a little tease on what we're going to be talking about on the 30th. Is oftentimes knowing the buyer's tax situation can make the seller money. That's, you know, basically then you're kind of bargaining for free. Because you're like, okay, if it's not disadvantageous to them, and it's advantageous to you, we call that a win. So that's how that goes. So you got to be able to have you. And that's really the difference between having an expert that, you know, we've got people, self-included, that work on buying and selling businesses. There's probably not a day that goes by that we don't have a client that is in the process of buying or selling a business. We probably do more of that volume in town than any other firm. So anywho, look us up there in studio. Randy O from the BBC, Rick Redding, Pinnacle Resource Management, and our newest business advisor. Glad to have somebody from the financial advisory world in our world. That's going to help our business owners a ton. We leave our listeners with the number one thing. So, Randy, let's start with you. Number one thing when you're picking a financial advisor, what do you think?
I think what comes to mind is process over product, finding somebody that's going to take kind of a holistic approach to what your, you know, your goals are, and not just be a product guy. I bumped into a lot of people in my travels that have kind of a one trick or one product fits all. And I think just in listening to Rick talk, having somebody really understands the overall goal and overarching, I guess, end result you're trying to get to.
Well said. Rick, number one thing when you're hiring a financial advisor.
Well, obviously I'm biased on this, but I do believe the number one question is, are they truly independent? Do they really have access to a multitude of different asset classes, different planning approaches, and do they understand how to make them all integrate together for the best possible outcome? Nobody can guarantee many things in this world, but I think with proper planning, and if they do true planning, I think you'll be very happy with the end result.
That's what I said.
Okay. Well, what I would say is that they have some credential in planning. So not investing, in planning. So a certified financial planner is a good one. And that they are centered on the plan and seeing how their investment advice fits within your plan, whether or not they've done the plan or they're baking into somebody else's. But if you don't have a roadmap, if you don't have the plan that you've kind of signed off on, there's really no way to be smart about investing it. That's my two cents. So it's just like you got to have a plan. And I tell you, 98% of the people out there don't have plans. They just, you know, they're like, well, I did all my wealth is in my business. I don't have a plan. And that's where I was like going. You need to know how much you can carve away from your business, and then have an investment strategy to then what are you going to do with it. But you know, ultimately, the financial advisors, they come to me. It's like, well, how much can we do tax free? It's like, well, how much do they need? And let's start there. So, and make sure that everybody's involved in that plan. So let's do this next week. Mark McKinnon, Mark Studios, and Katrina Lofton Winkle. Must be Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KUH.